fellowship with God through Brother Copeland's ministry. 1984, then by 86 we were at Rhema, and supernaturally connected to that ministry, Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, who has moved to heaven in 2003. But the head of the church would come and visit with him, talk to him about different things, bring illumination, light, and revelation. We know with Paul, it was basically the same deal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul wrote about himself, and he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I couldn't tell, out of the body I couldn't tell. So how many of you know he's got a human body and a celestial body? He wrote about that in Corinthians. So even the spirit man has a hand, has an arm, legs. And he said he was caught up to the third heaven, heard words that was not lawful such a man as himself to hear. But in that he talked about that in that Jesus actually taught him. And then he came back and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Yes. Because when you will read even after communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says the reason what I have about receiving communion is so different than the Gospels. Is he said, I wasn't taught by man, but I received it by revelation by Jesus himself. And he goes into such great. The first few verses we'll talk about the blood represents the blood. The juice, the cracker represents the body. And you will find that in the gospel. But then there goes on talking about the body, discerning the body. It's twofold. There's Jesus's body when he was here. Then the people that are born again now represents the spiritual body. Talks about how to treat one another, the causes, different things. So how many of you know you will not find that in the gospel? The reason it couldn't be taught in the gospel is because Jesus hadn't died and rose from the dead yet. Yes. Amen. So he came and he taught. Well, if Jesus did those things with Brother Hagin, and I personally believe he did, he was a man that we could trust, a man that we followed very closely. And how many of you know you follow anybody after they follow Jesus? Yes. Amen. And you don't take what they say, the gospel, if it doesn't, is not supported by the Word of God. Everything has to come back to the Word of God. That is our safe place. Well, in those things, there's some things that I felt in my heart tonight that we should cover, and it's actually phases of ministries. And sometimes when you say ministries, people automatically think fivefold. Well, there is the fivefold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But yet in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it'll give you a list of ministries, and in them is helps. And most people never see helps as a ministry. They think that if they can choose whether they want to help or not. But if you're called to it, you've got to understand it's as important as if you're called to be a traveling minister. Because God Almighty called you to it. And if there's things that go on by the fivefold not understanding, then there would be the same principle in the ministry of help. So we're going to cover that tonight. And how many of you will help us get there? Because utterance is greatly affected by the hearing. And when people are hungry like you all are, how many of you know the Holy Ghost has us say things we wasn't planning on saying? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So if you got your Bibles there, if you'd like to open them up to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. We'll read the King James Easy Read Version and then the Message out of Ecclesiastes 7:8. We'll start with the King James and we'll pray and we'll get started. Father, this evening, we love and thank you and praise you so much for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, sir, that we acknowledge that we are not left to our own understanding, our own experiences, because it would be one-sided, it could be off. So we call upon him who is a teacher of the word. Jesus said he would not leave us as orphans, but he would give us a comforter, a paraclete, all of these things. But one of the things you said about him, Jesus, was the teacher. Father, you said in John 16:13, Jesus said it, John recorded it, that he said, the Spirit of God will not say anything that he does not hear the Father say, nor will he reveal anything he does not hear the Father say or reveal. So tonight, Father, we acknowledge the things we have saw by the Spirit of God is because you saw how we cherished or valued what you took time to show us. So as we took time to value it, then you will speak to the Spirit of God tonight to show us even more. And Father, we give you all praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said, amen, please. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, King James reads, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." The easy read version is, it is better to finish something than to start it. A lot of times people get real excited about starting something. But then it becomes old to them. How many of you know it's better to finish than it is to start? To start is good, but with the purpose or the stamina or the strength of the Holy Ghost to finish it is better. You know, people will lose confidence if you continually say things like, "Well, I believe the Lord told me to do this. I believe the Lord told me to help. I believe the Lord told me." But then they always start it, but they never finish. How many of you know the Lord will, or people will lose confidence in you being able to hear? So it's more important to finish than it is to start it. Tell your neighbor, it's more important to finish than it is to start it. Then the Message Bible says this: endings are better than beginnings. Sticking to it is better than standing out. That's the Message, Ecclesiastes 7:8. So in that, how many of you know we will start as the Lord would prompt us to do some things, but tell your neighbor, say, "I'm going to stay with it and I'm going to finish it." One of the things that I appreciate, if you would like to pull up 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said some things here in the King James. He said, "I fought a good fight. I have finished my what? Course." This actually is phases of ministry. Paul did not start out as an apostle. He helped Gamaliel for 15 years. Most people think after he had the heavenly vision, he just started. He stayed and was taught and helped for 15 years. And then it would seem like, according to Acts 13, it says there was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. So he was, I believe, Paul was not only a teacher, I believe he was a prophet. He's one of them that was listed at Antioch. So he started, it seems, as a teacher, came into the prophet, so now he's not a teacher prophet, that's out of order, he's a prophet teacher. You can teach, but if you're a prophet, it'll always come from a higher dimension of inspiration. But yet there are teachers in the body, according to 5 listed in Ephesians 4. So he's a prophet teacher. That's where Brother Hagin stood. That's why his lessons would just be like, "Where did you get all of that?" Instead of just being able to divine and explain the scripture, there would be stuff in everybody else. You've read it 100 times. He'd read it and tell you, and you'd be like, I've read that 100 times. I didn't know that was in there. But sure enough, it's in there. Inspiration. So that's a prophet teacher. But then we know in Acts 13, it says, after they prayed and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate Barnabas and Saul, whereunto the what? The work where I've called them." Well, I thought he was a prophet. Most of the time, nobody will start out where they're called to. Most of the time, they won't. But you see, you have to be tested and tried, because God's going to give you responsibility of His very own children. And He don't want you teaching crazy stuff. Amen. And people say, "Well, if I'm called to ministry of helps, I don't know if I'll teach." Well, you'll teach kids.
Yes.
Amen. You might be a greeter at the door. You know, there's no such thing as an usher's ministry, but there's the ministry of helps.
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, no, you might be at the door, and if you don't treat people, come in, and you'll be like, "Dear God, I tell you what, I don't know where you've been the last few weeks, but we ain't missed you, but I'm glad you're here today." Well, how many of you know? How many of you know that ain't gonna bless nobody? Amen. Well, you know, when I first started preaching, there'd be people staring at me in a crowd and stuff, and I'd just get mad and tell my wife some stuff after service, and I'd be like, that gal was glaring at me, and I almost wanted to stop and said, "What?" Well, I mean, no, you got to learn how to help people and not let people bother you. Sure, amen. And so look at somebody and say, "I'm really glad I get a chance to get tuned up."
I'm really glad I get a chance.
Amen. You know, it's good that some of these rough edges get knocked off of it. Amen. Glory to God. So, but we understand this is a process. So Paul makes a statement. Timothy records it. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Now, it's interesting here that he finished his what? Finished my course. Right? And it's interesting that course here, if you look it up in the Strong's, that it means, and like somebody did say, a race. It also can mean a path or a route that runners move along in a race. Everybody say path.
Path.
Now, we know that if you want to, you can go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We'll look at it in the Amplified. Hebrews 12, 1. And I'm just going to read the tail end of the verse in the Amplified. And it says in Hebrews 12, 1 in the Amplified, and let us run with patience, endurance, and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is what? Set before us. Is that correct? So everybody say, I'm going to run my race. Well, if it's a path, then may I ask, what is your course? Sister Billy Brim taught me and my wife years ago. She said, most people think, now she said, I know in 1 Corinthians 3 it says that your works will be tried by fire. And she would go through that. But she said, one of the things that, you know, God will emphasize certain things to certain people. And it's good to listen to these different things, because how many of you know we can learn from each other? But she said, God emphasized to her, he said, Sister Billy, he said, when you stand before me, I'm not going to ask you a whole lot of things, but the first thing I will do is basically there will be a scroll that'll come down. And on that scroll, it will actually be my predestined, prearranged plan for your life. And then we're going to see how close you got to it. Now, people say, I don't know if that's true. Well, Ephesians 2 will bear that out. See, some people think we were just born to exist. God said he knew you before you were born, and he set a course for you. Whether you find it or I find it or not is not up to him. It's up to me. So if you would, look at Ephesians 2, 10, Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Why were we born again, God? That we may do those good works which God, what? Predestined. What else? Planned beforehand. For who? For us. Make it more personal. For me. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. Ahead of what time? Before I got here. Planned ahead of time that Ricky, put your name in there if you want to, Ricky, whatever your name is, Boudreaux, Chawanda, Howard, whatever, that Ricky or your name should do what? Walk in him. Walk in what? The paths that he prepared before I was born. Living the good life, which he prearranged, thank God for the good life, and made ready for us to live. Everybody say, living the good life, is on the path or paths that God prepared for me. So in the living the good life, this will begin to explain why so many people are frustrated. Brother Hagin told us years ago, he said, if you will watch, now please, don't write letters. don't text, don't Twitter, tweeter, twatter, whatever, okay? But this is just what Brother Hagin told us, and I would agree with it. He said, when people can't find their place, or their, if I can say it, niche, they will take on projects to give them a sense of worth.
Yes.
Therefore, they will fight to save trees. Or whales. Listen to me. I like our earth. I like the mountains. I appreciate. I don't destroy and litter. But these things were put here for us to enjoy, not worship. I worship Him who put all that stuff here. But we don't destroy and, you know, and throw trash and all that stuff. We appreciate the planet, right? But, you know, when people say, well, this is, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do in life. What's that? Save the spotted owl. Listen. You are actually a spirit being which is eternal. I can't find nothing about spotted owls at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you remember Matthew, Romans? It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not humanitarian. But what is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's spiritual. When people emphasize only humanitarian things, they really don't know what the kingdom of God is about. See, if you're interested in just feeding the poor instead of fixing why they're poor. Are you following me? That's why Jesus said the gospel should be preached to them. I mean, no, that'll turn them. And so, but these things, now listen, I like the redwoods. We go regular. We enjoy the coast. We enjoy the mountains. All of these things, they were put here for us to enjoy, not destroy. Are you with me? But in that regard is, we're learning our purpose. We're learning our call, why we're here. So we don't take on projects that gives us a sense of worth when there's already been something before I was born prearranged and I was predestined for.
Amen.
Amen. That's where fulfillment will come.
Amen.
Now, in Brother Hagin's book, I think we read all of Ephesians 2:10, didn't we? Can you pull up Romans 12:2? We'll read it next. I want to read this to you. Brother Hagin's book, Understanding the Anointing. And if you want to write these pages down, you check it out if you got the book, Understanding the Anointing. In page 62 through 63, Brother Hagin starts at toward the bottom of page 62, and he says this: when the Lord appeared to me in that first vision in 1950 in Rockwall, Texas, at the tent meeting, he said, among other things, to Brother Hagin, he said, when you left your last church, at that time you entered into the first phase of your ministry. At that time, Brother Hagin said, I had already been in the ministry for 15 years, from 1934 to 1949. And Jesus said, you just got into the first phase of your ministry.
Yes.
And he said, Lord, I've been preaching for 15 years. What do you mean I just got into my first phase?
Yes. Amen.
And we're going to show you some things tonight that if you never get into the perfect will of God, but you play around with only the acceptable or permissive, the enemy will constantly have a shot at you. Now, as you're growing, you have to understand, people again think ministry is the fivefold. It is, but what about helps? And they think it's their choice whether they help or not. We don't have that luxury. And if it goes with the ministries that God's called us to, then undoubtedly it goes with the ministry of helps. So we want to look at these things, and you're going to be able to look at your Bible and you decide. Some of you know, you've got to be able to prove these things by the Word of God.
Amen.
And look at the Scriptures. So the Lord said to him, this is what Brother Hagin said, 12 years of it had been in pastoral work, and then you remember he went out of his evangelistic work for 3. And he said, I wasn't an evangelist either, and that's not my calling. And so he said, when the Lord said I had entered into my first phase of my ministry when I left my last church, I argued with him about it. And he said, Lord, that can't be so. You mean I preached for 15 years in ministry and never even got into the first phase of my ministry you have for me? He said, yes, that's exactly right. Then he said something we all need to think about. Listen to this carefully. Many ministers live and die, never even get into the first phase of the ministry I have for them. This is Jesus talking. Not always. But many times that's the reason they die young or in middle age. They don't live their full length of time out. It's because they never get into the first phase. If you're not in God's best, you can't claim God's best. Look at your neighbor and say, I wish he'd say that again. Okay, I will. Thank you. If you're not in God's best, you can't claim God's best. If you're not in God's perfect will, you can't claim His perfect provision. We need to know that and find our place. Look at somebody and say, I need to find my place. And I know we're endeavoring to do that. We're working toward that. Often God will let you serve nearly anywhere during a period of training. But the time will come that you need to get on your knees and find your place in Him. So here's where we missed it. Instead of doing this, we think, well, I'm in the ministry, I'm working for God, and we find our own place. But you can die working for God. That's what Brother Hagin said. You must ask yourself, what did He call me to do? What does He want me to do? You know, my wife, she laughs because I'd tell people when we took off for Raymond 86, and we got to Bible school, I said, I'm the next R.W. Shambaugh. And some of you maybe heard him before he moved to heaven. But I'd tell people, I'm the next R.W. Shambaugh. And then as soon as we got out of school, we went back to Southeast Texas to see her mom and dad. And because we'd been at school for 2 years, we didn't have any money at all. And we went back to Southeast Texas. And the Lord supernaturally woke me up one morning and gave me some things. He said, I have sent you to reap where you have not sowed. Other men have labored. You have now entered into their labor, and I want you to pastor. And I thought, get thee behind me, Satan. I didn't take nothing in school under pastoring. They offered. I said, I don't need to know nothing about pastoring or teaching or how to organize a church or church work or board bookkeeping. I'm an evangelist. You know, we'd save ourselves a lot of grief if we would ask God what we are instead of assuming.
Yes.
Pride always assumes, humility will ask.
Hey, man, that's good.
Hey, man. Hallelujah. Look over at your neighbor and say, did you write that down? Okay. Now, yeah, pride always assumes. Always. Where is that in the Bible? Is that in Hebrews chapter 11? God told the Israelites, cross the Red Sea. The Egyptians assuming. They could too. Drowned in the depths of the sea. Well, if they can preach, I bet I can too. Don't assume. Amen. Pride always assumes. What's humility do? Ask. Now, In this book, if you have this book, I Believe in Visions. If you would write down, if you'd like to, so you can check it out later, page 46. We're going to get into to what we're supposed to cover tonight. Can I read you off of something else I have first? Yeah. I might. See, Lord, forgive me for judging Sister Billy Brim. I always laughed at Sister Billy. She needed four tables to get all the books she brought to the front on. I need another table. Okay. My wife and I was talking about this. Miss Berta Bass, who transcribed Brother Hagin's prophecies and sermons, has since moved to heaven, was very gracious to us, and gave us all of Brother Hagin's prophecies and some of these things. This is from 1980 at Frederick Casey Price's Church, Crenshaw Christian Center. And it's interesting, if you'll just dig around in some of this stuff, these books and let messages and different things, God is constantly talking about how to keep you well, how to get you on your path, and how to help you succeed. Always. I'm just going to read a little bit of this to you. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this was 1980, Kenneth E. Hagin at Anaheim, California, at the Dome, Dr. Frederick Casey Price. Now, Dr. Price, he's moved to heaven. And I think, has his wife too? I don't remember if she has, but I know Brother Fred's daughter was helping, now his son, I think, is preaching there too. But this 1980, and it says, listen to this. When you left your last church in 1949, Brother Hagin said, I'd been in the ministry since 1934. That's 15 years. At that time, Jesus is saying, you entered into the first phase of your ministry. Dear Lord, I said, you don't mean I've been preaching 15 years when I left there. That last church, I just then got into the first phase. Why, I'd been preaching for 15 years, full-time ministry, he said. At that time, you entered into the first phase of your ministry that I have for you. Everybody say, that Jesus had for you. Jesus. See, I was in the ministry. Many ministers, he said, live and die, never get into the first phase of their ministry that I have for them. He said, that's the reason. Listen carefully, ministers, if you're here, here's a revelation from Jesus himself. He said to me personally, I saw him just as plain as I see Fred sitting there. This is Brother Hagin talking about, he's there, Brother Fred's. Except that he was standing. Many ministers, that's the reason that they die young or they die in middle age. And never live their life out because they're only been in his permissive will. And when you're only in the permissive will, you're where Satan can legally attack you. He actually has the right to do it. Then Brother Hagin says, are you listening to me? And in that first phase of ministry, Jesus says this, you were unfaithful. And Brother Hagin, and if we have time, I'll read all of this to you. How many of y'all have read, Brother Hagin challenged Jesus, not in a boastful way, but in an understanding way, looking for answers. Jesus said, you've been unfaithful. And he said, Jesus, I left the last church I pastored. He said it was the best parsonage we ever had. It was the best church. It was a brick church, not a frame church. And the salary was the best I ever had. I left my wife and two kids, and I went out on the road. Jesus said, yes, you did, but you were unfaithful. He said, how could I have been unfaithful? He said, you wouldn't tell the people what I told you. Most people think faithfulness is diligence or showing up. But I will give you a Bible definition that says faithfulness is only doing it the way God has it in his heart and in his mind. If you change and don't do the exact way he's got it in his heart or mind, even if you did it, you were never found faithful, and it will not be rewarded as faithfulness. I'll give you Bible. You have to have Bible. So, in that, let's read Romans 12:2, NET, the New English Translation. They might not have it, but I'll read it to you. Romans 12:2 says this: don't be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve. Everybody say, test and approve.
Test and approve.
What is the will of God? What is good, well-pleasing, and perfect? There are three. What's the King James say? So that you may prove, test, what is the good, acceptable, perfect. So I would like to ask you, which one are you in? Concerning his call, the path he prepared for you were born, where are you at? You, only you can answer. This is not a put down. How many know this is the year for the church to shine brighter than she's ever shone before? This is a time for the believers to be healthier than we've ever been healthy before. To be victorious, prosper. How many know we are the glorious church called out by God to be a witness to a dark place? Amen? When kids are little, and they're three or four, and they do some things. We have, not too long ago, one of our grandkids said something, and me and my wife actually commented on Facebook about it. And our daughter, Mandy, posted and said, "Who are you people, and what have you done to my mother and my father?" Because we was all like, "Oh, that's so sweet." And she's like, "You used to beat our legs off." Well, how many of you know when kids are little and they do some things, it's cute. Sometimes. Now, if it's defiant, it's got to be fixed. Sure. But as we grow, what should we do? Mature. Right? We should develop. We should, you know, have some sense to us. Right? Sure. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought, I understood like a child. But when I become a man, what did he say? I put away childish ways. Why? He grew up some. Right? So, everybody say good, acceptable, and perfect. Most of the time training is between good and permissive. Brother Hagin said he dabbed around in that for 15 years. Jesus told him, he said, now you were training, but he said, I'm letting you know now that you've come to a place that I can actually use you in the prophet's office. He said, I couldn't before. But I can use you there. And he said, you were not out of my will in the good or the permissive, because we're going to use all of that for this next one I've called you to. But see, a day will come when we all need to find the perfect will of God. Right? But the thing of it is how many of you know if we came into the family of God late, well, how many of you know God will help us?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. He'll work with us. He'll help us develop. He'll help us get there. But the thing of it is to begin to have a mindset is, I do need to get to the perfect will of God for my life. I don't need to just coast. I just don't need to think that, you know, I can just float through. There's a job description for me. It's in the family of God. It's in the local church. And it's something that he prearranged before I was born. And I need to find that path. Right? Because on that path is living the good life. Amen. Glory to God. Now, if you would, go with me to Acts chapter 13, please. Hallelujah. Now, would you go to 1 Corinthians 12, 18 first? 1 Corinthians 12, 18. Yeah, let's go there. Can y'all read it to me when you get there? King James will be fine. They got it. Thank you, Brother Clint. But now hath God set how many? Members, how many? Please emphasize, make some kind of note. How many? So we're going to have to see everybody actually fits. Everybody?
Yes.
I agree. Everyone born again has some place they fit in the body.
Yes.
I agree. I totally agree. God has set the members, every one of them in the body as it is pleased who? Please, if you would, look at your neighbor and say, you don't have a say-so in it. Who said and who's pleased where he puts you?
God.
God. My wife told me years ago when I knew the Lord began to deal with me, and he said, you're going to have to go more on the road. And I told my wife, I looked at her and I said, honey, you're the next pastor. And she said, no, I'm not. Not because she didn't want to obey God, but she was raised in such a way that she explained herself to me. She said, honey, she's not an obnoxious woman. She's quiet. She ain't afraid to get in my face. And I thank God for that. I'm serious. It kept me from dying in 96. I was leaving the ministry. I was moving to Bakersfield, California. I'd already called Uncle Ted. I said, I've had it up to here with all this stuff. And I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to California. I've got a job. They were in the Union Hall after World War II, the Edwards, set it all up, everything. And so he said, Ricky, I know you know how to run yellow iron, you know, everything. It's got hydraulics and diesel, and it makes big noises. Anything big, bulldozers, scrapers, all that stuff. And he said, I will start you out at $40 an hour, this and that and the other, everything. And then when he got through, he said, what are you going to do about the call? Uncle Ted, and he was barely saved, barely. He ain't sanctified, barely. But he did make heaven before he died. But I thought, isn't that interesting? And so I told my wife, and she said, honey, you can go to California if you want. But she said, I ain't going to California, and I'm not raising my babies in California. When your wife does something so wonderful, you ought to never forget it. Seriously, I've been dead. You can't leave your position and go do what you want and expect the blessings of God to flow and the devil to leave you alone. So in that, I got frustrated with it all and all that stuff, and I thought, well, I can just choose. And I, you know, you remember what Brother Hagin, he tried to make a deal with Jesus. Negotiator. He said, God, he said, I don't want to leave my family and I don't want to leave pastor. He said, I don't want to be labeled with all them nuts. Really, remember? That's what he said about the deliverance ministry.
Yes,
he said, how about I just stay here and I'll be the best little pastor you've ever had. I'll love these people. I will pray. I'll do all this stuff. But he said, I want to stay with my wife and kids. He said, I just want to stay right here. And he said, Jesus never would answer. Because Jesus was pleased with him in that position.
Yes.
Years ago, and I've told this here before, we had a lady that was, she was interested. She would go to, was it India? India. And she would do stuff there, missionary stuff, different things. And the Lord actually spoke to my wife and I, and he told us this. He said, ask her if she would to help you at the local church in the orphanage for a year. Commit to a year. And then he said, I'm sorry, nursery. Thank you, honey. Nursery. Nursery for a year. Yeah, thank God that's a big difference. Nursery for a year. But he said, don't tell her. But he said, if she'll do this for me, talking about himself, Jesus, he said, I want you to commit to support her for $1,000 a month the rest of the time she goes overseas. But he said, you cannot tell her because then she's going to walk by sight, not by faith. So we presented it to her, and she said, what'd she say? She said, I don't do kids. If I wanted kids, I'd have had some myself. Far as I know, she never made it. Last time we saw her, she was in a wheelchair. And then people get to saying how God does stuff to people. He wanted to help her with her dream. But he needed something from her. It's called humility. Well, I'll go to church, but they better not ask me to stand back there and greet people. I don't like people. They better not ask me work nursery. That's all I got to say. They do, I'm going to embarrass them. I'm going to tell, I'm going to go off on somebody. But see, you have to understand that God knows you. He really knows you. He don't know about you. He knows you. And most of the time we think it's other people that have the problem. When really it's something in us that really needs to be dealt with. Look at somebody, smile real big at him, said, I'm pretty sure he's preaching to you by the way you're looking. Amen. What did Peter get when Jesus, Matthew, what is it, y'all? Is it Matthew 16? Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter jumped up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, some of them said, some say they are Jeremiah, one of the prophets, Elijah. But he said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Peter, I call you a little rock. Petra. Right? Peter took that because he said on Revelation, not on Peter, on Revelation, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Why then in the books of Peter almost 30 years later when he penned the book, he talks about and says we are lively stones. He never let the revelation Jesus gave him get away from him. He called him a little rock. And Peter said, we're lively stones. Jesus is the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
And everything, we're building a spiritual house here.
Yes. Amen.
But he said, lively stones are rough.
Yes.
And they got to be smoothed up a little bit.
Yes.
Folks, Peter was a burly fisherman. When that soldier come up there, and Peter cut his ear off, how many of you know it didn't bother Peter one bit? And he wasn't aiming for the guy's ear. He's aiming to cut his head off. I'm pretty sure. And when he grabbed that sword and went like that, that soldier probably went, ping! And that ear went, pff! And Jesus is like, put the sword up here. But you need people like that in the ministry of helps.
Yes, sir.
You just got to direct it the right way. We had a guy one time going to receive the offering. And we told him, says, you know, give the people a chance to give. Don't just rush through it. He'd take the offering bucket and they'd put something in. He'd stand there like, and he carried a big knife. Sometimes he'd do like this. Like, brother, you got to calm down on that. We are not frisking the people. Are you with me? Amen. But he'd fight. He would at the drop of a hat. So look at your neighbor and say, thank God there's hope for me. Me too. Amen. So does it please God where you fit? Yes. Does everybody fit?
Yes, sir.
So this is general. God has said to members, how many?
All.
Every one of them, all. In the body as it has. Now, verse 28, same chapter, same book, please. 1 Corinthians 12:28, please. He says, but now hath God set the members. Oh, that's still the same one. I was like, I have heard this scripture before. Verse 28. And God has set some. Everybody say some. God is what? Really? I'll get you back, Brother Clint. First Corinthians. I don't hug grudges, but I do get even. Now, First Corinthians, that's scriptural, you know. But 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some. Everybody say it again. Some. How come it's different than 18? Because now he's going to get more specific about where people fit. Everybody has a place in the body, but it's as he says. Now he's going to get more clear in 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God hath set what? Some in the body. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that gifts, working, miracles, things like that. Secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that. Are y'all reading? Following me? 28. Miracles, then what? Gift of healings, what?
Helps.
Helps is right in the middle of all these other ministries.
Yes, sir.
It is not a deal that you can't really fit nowhere else and you're not qualified for nothing. No, it's actually a divine call.
Yes,
by God. I don't want it now. Forget it. No, I was playing. Oh. So everybody say helps, please. Now, what does come underneath the guidelines of helps? Thank you. Really, it's the truth. Anything that helps. Now we got, in Romans 12, it'll talk about graces and gifts. And there's about six there. 6 down. Ephesians 4 talks about 5. Apostles, prophet, evangelist, teacher. And then here, we see apostles, prophets, teachers. What else? There are those like Brother Benny Hinn. Are you following? They don't really teach. And they're not really, you know, well, that's a whole other message that will stay with us. And then gifts of healings. How many of you know, my wife, God uses her a lot with ears. A lot with me, backs, tumors, gross, things like that. And knees. But we can pray for anybody, for anything by faith.
Yes.
But see, when you begin to hone in and you know where God uses you a lot.
Yes.
What was the gentleman that was in England and started the Assemblies of God? Wrote a book on the gifts of the Spirit. Brother Hagin referred to him. Remember? Howard Carter. He was with a group of young ministers. He was an older minister. Some younger ministers come to him and said, there was a lady that come and said, Brother, she needed a certain thing. And he said to her, he said, ma'am, he said, God uses my wife a lot in that area. He said, he uses me for getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, if you don't mind, you find my wife. When you become skillful, this is what this is trying to get us to see. Any believer can pray for another believer. Any believer. It says so, Mark chapter 16. But in Mark 16, there's no reference to anointing. It's to authority. In my name, Jesus said. That's authority. Understanding authority. So everybody say helps. Governments, of course, Brother Hagin would teach us the governments is within the pastoral office. And then he said also, gifts of healings. Do you notice that they're both plural? And he would teach us. He said, how come there's gifts of healings? Because there are people that will be very specific and have great results with specific diseases. So everybody say helps. See, there's no such animal or ministry, I should say, as the ministry of music. You know, I shared last night, we've rode motorcycles before. We were chaplain for Cowboys for Christ for years. We've rode with them different things. And they call that a ministry. It's really not a ministry. It's, if you study a ministry, it has to have a pastor. Or else it's an outreach. It's got to have a shepherd. So, in that, if these things will submit. Now, the Cowboys for Christ, in just a short time, there were 300 people that come through there and got saved, born again. They're Cowboys. But we directed every one of them to a local church so a shepherd could look after them. So, everybody say helps. So, that would include nursery, Sunday school teachers, cleaning, ushers, sound folk. God help us with Clint. And yeah, I got the mic right now. And if you turn it off, I will come back there. Okay, but all of these things, are you following me? And you guys know I love Brother Clint. But just not right now, but I love him. No, I'm kidding. But all of these things will come underneath the guidings of helps. And they're actually something that Jesus said he's pleased with. And callings. How would y'all feel if I just got tired and me and Sally decided we ain't going to go preach no more? We're just going to stay home. We don't have to travel. We don't need this as far as financial. Some who don't understand be like, well, I don't blame you. Really? Going to Russian roulette it, huh? Yeah. But then there'd be others be like, well, you can't do that. But yet when in the area of helps, they don't see it that important. So, what time did we start? Well, it's Saturday night. We got to come back in the morning. So if you don't mind, just ask your neighbor, do you know where you fit? And if you don't, it's okay. If you don't, it's okay. But I mean, no, we do need to find out. Okay? Now, go to Revelation 3, please. Revelation 3, 7. Revelation 3, 7, we'll read 7 and 8. It says, and to the angel of the church. Now, most people do agree the angel is the pastor or the overseer. Most agree. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Who is that? Got the key of David. Jesus, ain't it? Okay. Got the key of David. He that openeth, no man shutteth, and what? If we have time tonight and we go through these things, you will see opportunities are not for forever. But anybody who is willing to prepare themselves, that position will wait. Amen. But those who refuse to even prepare for it or head that way, usually the door will become shut. And you will be replaced. But not us. So he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee what? an open door. Now tell me the next. Jesus is talking. Thou hast little strength, kept my word, not denied my name. Now, who opens doors? And these doors, of course, you guys know here, are never for guidance. Remember, we used to pray that way. God, if you want me to do that, open that door, close that door. But then we found out we're New Testament saints. And Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the... And that's on the inward witness, correct? How are you and me led? Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Inward witness, correct? So we're not led by open doors. So then, why would God the Father, Jesus the Son, our Lord and Savior, open doors for us? And if you study, it has to do with opportunity or increase. What would God continually open doors for you, doors of increase? There has to be scripture to support it. Pull up Matthew 25:21. Jesus said to the man, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over, I will now increase, correct? I will make thee ruler over
anything.
What brought the increase?
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness. What will cause God to open a door for you of opportunity of increase?
Faithfulness.
Yes, sir. If you could pull up, we're not going to turn there, but pull up 1 Samuel 2:35. And then we'll come back to this part. 1 Samuel 2:35, God says, I will raise me up a faithful priest. Everybody say faithful. So give me the definition of faithful. That shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. Is that correct? What is faithfulness? Doing it according to the way God has it in His heart and in His mind. When He told Brother Hagin to leave his last church, go out on the field ministry, and he was an evangelist, remember that? And he said he realized he wasn't a pastor. What was he? He was a prophet. He would not tell the people that. Even though he left his last church, he left his family, and he traveled. Brother Hagin said, Jesus appeared to him and he says, you have not been faithful. And you remember he was complaining. He said, Lord, we're 3 months behind. If my landlord wasn't a pastor, I'd already got evicted. The wife and the kids are not adequately clothed. We're not adequately fed. We're behind 3 months. And he said, I have obeyed you. And he said, you don't qualify. And he said, you hit me a low blow. He said, Isaiah 1:19. Brother Hagin quotes scripture back and says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He said, you were obedient, but you wasn't willing. And you won't tell the people what I told you. Therefore, I can't consider you faithful even though you went.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
That's why when God gives me and her messages, He'll specifically sometimes tell us, you go. We'll be like, Lord, we don't want to go there. I'm serious.
Amen.
We don't want to go. You can ask my wife. We don't want to go there. There's not very many. There's not. And it's not always that way. I don't want to make it sound like that. It's not. But there's been times he said, I need you to go and I need you to teach this. And you'll be like, Lord, we're going, like Brother Hagin would say, we're going to plow that feller's field crossways. He don't believe in prosperity.
Yes.
And Brother Hagin be... Remember, he said he would go and he'd start teaching faith. And he said, it's tough to teach faith when the pastor's sitting behind you breathing the hot breath of unbelief because he don't believe in faith.
Yes.
Are you following? But see, the thing of it is, and it's not very many at all like that, but you have to understand, if God has a specific message or a specific place for you, if you want to be counted faithful so He will open doors of increase, you have to do it the way it's in His heart and in His mind. Well, I'll go to church and I'll just tithe and give offerings, folks, that is greatly appreciated. We appreciate that through the support of the work. But how many of you know, if he's asked you to do something else in the ministry of helps, how many of you know the tithe and the offering won't cut it because you're not doing what's in his heart? Amen? Okay. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 16:9 in the Amplified, please. Do you all have that one, Brother Clint? Thank you. For a wide door of what? For effectual service has what? Now I want to ask you a question. Who opened the door? Either God the Father or the Lord Jesus. He said, "I'll open doors no man can shut." They'll be like, "Well, how come y'all are always increasing?" Faithful. He said, "I will open doors. For a wide door of opportunity for effectual service is open to me. There a great and promising one, and there are what?" Isn't it interesting that a lot of times people get confused? They get to thinking, you know, I have been faithful. To the best of my ability, I have been faithful. I have done exactly, to the best of my knowledge, what God has in his heart and what he told me to do. But it's like when opportunities come, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Well, how many know you're scriptural?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Paul wrote and said that every time an opportunity or a door for increase opened, there at the door was many adversaries. He didn't get attacked because he's out of the will of God. He got attacked because increase is coming and the devil don't want him to do it. How many times you heard people say, "I'm going to step out and I'm going to obey God and I'm going to start doing that for the church. I'm going to help." And it's like all hell breaks loose.
Yes.
And people get confused and they're like, "Man, it's just like crazy at the house and stuff." And wow. And what the design is to keep you from stepping through your door of increase that God gave you because you've already been found faithful. Look at somebody say, "We'll not be ignorant of these things." So, we'll finish this up. It's almost 7:30. There are a couple of things I want you to see tonight, because I don't know if we'll go back to this tomorrow. Acts 13, 21, 22, King James talks about it, says that Saul was king over Israel for 40 years. The son of Sesh, I believe it's called. For 40 years, but other translations will tell you that God removed him. Then in verse 22, it begins to talk about David coming into this place as king. And it says in 22, "And when God had removed Saul, when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king." Everybody say, "Open doors, shut doors." Now this begins to mean more. The door shut for Saul. "When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. He said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man what? Which shall fulfill all of my will." I don't remember if the NLT, the Amplified, and other translations will bear it out. And God said, "I have found someone who will do things the way I have it in my heart and in my mind." He was so excited. My wife and I thought the reason that David was known as a man after God's own heart because he's quick to forgive and quick to repent. Those are both good qualities. But it wasn't. He said he would do it the way God had it in his heart. What was one of the last things that Saul did? And the prophet come and he said, "Did you obey God?" "Yes, I did." "What's all this sheep I hear?" "It wasn't me. It was the folks." Are you following? So go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, NLT. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. How come Saul died? I'm sorry, I told you Corinthians. I was wrong. Chronicles. First Chronicles. That was on me. Sorry, guys. First Chronicles 10, 13. Can you read it to me? Do you know why Jesus got so up in Brother Hagin's face about him being unfaithful, even though he left and he obeyed? He said, you better be glad I allowed you to fall and hurt your elbow. He said, you would have not lived past 53. Says it in the book. How many of you know you and I have promises we can live until we get satisfied? Right? You say, well, what is that age? For me, I've set my heart to 92. But I'll be like Brother Hagin. If you hear that I have left earth, know that I got satisfied. Brother Hagin would tell us as students. People says, well, Brother Ricky, we're promised 120 years. Genesis 6:3. I know that. But see, there's a scripture that says you have a right to ask God, show me my years. Show me my days. Psalms. And you have a right to look at those things, but that's, we're going to finish up here. Go with me, please. Go, Brother Clint, will you pull up 2 Corinthians 4:7 and then 2 Corinthians 13:5 in the Amplified for 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Timothy 4:7 we read at the beginning. And we can do that one in King James. And it's interesting here. Paul said, I have fought what? I have finished the race. I have remained. King James says, I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I have. Now I'm going to ask you something. What faith? What faith? What did God tell Ananias when he did not want to go pray for Paul? He was Saul then. He said, he is a vessel of choice. And I will show him the things he will suffer, but I'll also reveal to him what I have for him and what I'm going to ask him. Is that correct? He knew that if he went as an apostle and he preached all over the world, that he went by faith, because the only way you can do these things by faith is with a God kind of word.
Yes.
That's the faith he kept. When God asks us to go and do these things, the reason we go, people say you all go all the time. The reason we go is we have a God ask or a God word. So we go by faith. Are you with me? Wherever God placed you in the family, you should be able to serve there by faith. Okay. So, 2 Corinthians 13:5, Amplified. And then I have it also, I believe I got it. I didn't get it in the message, but I can get it quick. Hun, will you pull up 2 Corinthians 13:5 in the message? Got it too? Okay, thank you, Brother Clint. Amplified. Y'all ready? Examine and what?
Test
and? Okay. Test. Prove yourselves. Not Christ. Do you not yourselves realize and know? So let's read the first part again. Examine, test, evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to Okay, what faith? Last thing he asked you to do. One translation says, give yourself regular checkups. So this is what I ask God, according to Psalms 39:4, and we'll have Clint pull that up, but he's going to pull this one up in the message. This is what I ask. Lord, for my age, am I about where I need to be able to finish and get into my fourth and final phase? I'm in my third, in my fourth room. I need to know. Are we pretty close to being where we need to be for our age so that we can finish the race? These questions need to be asked. One guy told me, he said, Brother Ricky, he said, I know you believe in phases and rooms and stuff, but he said, I don't think it matters. I said, then if you are nowhere near your fourth and final phase, how will you know if you're close to where you need to be before you finish your race? In the book I read to you out of, if you all will take time and look at it, Brother Hagin, he entered his third phase in 1979 of June. I'm sorry, fourth phase. 1979 in June, and he remained there until 2003 when he left. And he told us all, if you hear I left, I didn't die from a heart attack. Yes. No, I got satisfied.
Yes, sir.
He finished his course.
Yes.
Just like Paul.
Yes.
So, in the Amplified, I'm sorry, Message, it says, test yourself. Make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift alone taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. Look at your neighbor and say, I need to give myself a regular checkup. How old am I, honey? 63? 4? 2? 62. 63. All right. Anybody want to bid 64? Why do we want to bid? 60. There were things that we had planned, the different churches across the U.S., different things. And our goal was, by the age 72, all of them will be in place. Because we said, we don't want to travel like we do now after that age. We'll still be healthy. We'll still be fine. But we will have churches around the United States that we can just go to them, and we'll have a home there. And we can go there, we can rest, and we can do meetings, and people in that area can come. That was the plan God gave us. But we started working on this when we were 40s. So for our age, are we about, Lord, where we need to be? How many know there's always room for improvement? There's always room for more. But you can't be so stressed out about where you're not to that you don't enjoy where you are. You've got to enjoy life. Or you'll get to be a bear and nobody will be wanting to be around you. Amen. You got to have fun in this. Be joyful. You say, well, Brother Ricky, I got started late. Well, praise God you got started.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you can ask my wife, I was 30. You know, fresh out of jail and all that crazy stuff. And the devil says, Ricky, you know good and well. And I did. I knew when I was a teenager at church camp, I knew God was, I was called. I knew that. But with all the other stuff went on, I didn't go. And it used to bother me, and I would let it bother me. And one day the Lord said, what about the story Jesus told? And I was like, which one? And he's like, the guy that went to earth and he needed help. So he went and hired some folk about 9 o'clock in the morning. Said, I'll pay you a certain wage. Well, about noon, he said, you know, I don't think that's going to be enough. And went and hired some more. And then about 2 or 3 o'clock in the evening, went and got some more folk. And everybody got paid the same wage. They all got to go to heaven.
Yeah.
He said, don't ever let that bother you again. You came in, and you're doing what you're supposed to now. Maybe you should have come in at 16, but you didn't. We can't change that. Thing of it is, we're here now, and we're going to do what we can now. We're going to obey God to the best of our ability now. Amen. And we'll do what we can until we get ready to go. Right? Amen. So, give yourself regular checkup. Lord, where do I fit? What's my place? What really pleases you for me to do? What do you want me doing? And I'll be glad to do it for you. And in that, you know, God then will reveal some things to you. Last scripture, and we'll close with this. Psalms 39:4 in the Amplified, please. You can ask God about your future. You have every right to. Lord, make me to know my end and to appreciate the measure of my days, what it is. Let me know and realize how frail I am, how transient is my stay here. James says it's a vapor. Even if God shows you some things, how many know you still have to walk by faith?
Yes.
Amen. Paul's, thank God for Paul. He wrote in Philippians, is it 1:21? He said, I have a desire. I think that's right. It's right in that area. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, it is more needful for me to stay here. So he said, I choose when I go. I'll not go before I finish my course. And Brother Hagin would tell us that. Everybody, this medical science stopped. Brother Hagin died because of a heart condition. God healed him of a heart condition.
Yes.
But that stuff flooded in when he left his physical body.
Yes.
And he told us, he said, if you hear, I have left, know that I got satisfied.
Yes.
And let it be said of us too.
Amen.
Amen. So, we're going to find our spot, and we're going to flourish in it, ain't we? And we're going to give ourselves regular checkups, right? Amen. To see whether or not we be in the faith, correct? So, wherever you are, know there's phases, and there are rooms. And in each one, there is, and this is what has always helped me. In this room, there is teaching more from the prophet's office, not so much the prophesying to individuals. Example, you go into a house, you go into the living room, what's in there as a whole? Couch, coffee table, TV, end tables, recliners. But in the same house, you go out of the living room and go into the dining room, what's in there? Dining table. Nice stuff, you know, candles or something for the dinner table. You go into the kitchen of the same house, what's in there? Utensils, refrigerator, sink, knives, forks, plates, pans, pots. But it's yet in the same house.
Yes.
But it's a different room.
Yes.
Amen. As you begin to allow God to help you become faithful in whatever He's asked you to do, He will open a door. And you'll maybe still be in the same call, but you will go into a different room. And there'll be emphasis on different things in that room, but yet you're still in the same house. We used to, when we'd go do meetings, I mean, the biggest thing or the greatest emphasis was to walk through the crowd and tell people stuff. We did that for years. And God says the fourth room is different. The emphasis will be teaching by inspiration. There will be such revelation, and it's needed. But we're getting ready to go to another thing down the road when it's time, and it'll emphasize miracles. But we're not there yet. But we're close. But to get into every room, you got to stay alive long enough. So look at somebody and say, I ain't dying young. And I ain't leaving early. I'm going to finish my course. And I will give myself regular checkups. Amen. Praise God forevermore. All right. Thank you guys for coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. We thank you for these precious, precious people. Here it is, a Saturday night. And they just, of their own choice, because their love for you and the love for your work, came to this meeting. We thank you, Father God. These messages we know are never designed to beat anybody up, not make anybody feel bad. But this is to help us with understanding, longevity, how to keep the devil at bay, how to walk in the good life, the path that's been prearranged and predestined for us. And we thank you for these things, and we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thanks, sir.
Amen. Amen. How many of y'all was blessed? Amen. Hallelujah. That was excellent. Man. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and receive an offering real fast. If you are making out a check, make it out to Spirit of Life Church, please. And then at the end, we will make out one check. And then if you're giving